Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast, available everywhere podcasts are. So if you like movies, you are in the right place. Each week we talk about a couple movies, some things we're watching, we get some thoughts, some trivia, a little riffing here and there. And we're also on the YouTube, where you can check us out. We have bonus movie reviews, Star Wars, we're going through the Bad Batch, Power Rangers, which I've got some stuff coming this week. Maybe some Green Ranger stuff coming here soon. And we have a website, podcastnamedtim.com, where you can go and look at the over 400 movies we've watched, click on the movie poster, and listen to our thoughts on that particular movie. This week, we are doing car-related movies because the Fast and the Furious, Fast 9, F9, whatever they're calling it at this point, is out. We're doing Eat My Dust and Rubber. With that being said, I'm Zach. Dad, how are you on this beautiful Sunday morning as we record?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about as fantastic as I guess you could be. I assume the answer is going to be pretty limited, but what else have you been watching?
Well, we found our new 30-minute show, you know, that we do before bed. That's been Man with a Plan.
Mm-hmm.
The Matt LeBlanc.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really funny. It's a good show so far. And then Amy and I have been watching Ink Master Angels.
Mm.
So it's instead of Ink Master, which I watch, she wanted to watch Ink Master Angels. And it's just a competition where they go around to different cities and try to find someone to beat the angels, and then they can go to Ink Master. And then, since I have Paramount now, which is where Ink Master's too, but we found a show called Why Women Kill.
Okay.
Excellent so far. I am enjoying it. It's an anthology.
Okay.
It takes place in three different generations. There's a 60s, 80s, and now.
Mm-hmm.
So three stories going on at the same time, all from the same house, three people that live in this house, and just the stories of these women's lives and why they may or may not have ended up killing their significant other or someone.
Okay.
Let me speak for all women around the world. All three of these women have just cause.
Understand.
That the one from the 60s, it's really hard to believe sometime how men acted and were allowed to act.
I think they still do
within
today,
my lifetime. So. Within my life, yeah, they do. But you know, some houses, of course, still act this way. But I'm talking about the majority of people acted this way and accepted it, that the man was in charge of the household. Period. Women had no voice. They were expected to be in their pretty little house dress when you got home, with the dinner on the table, and it's quite extraordinary when you watch these to think, well. Another thing that has blown my mind by watching Ink Masters, because tattooing is such an ancient art,
mm-hmm.
I mean, been around forever, I did not know that tattooing was illegal in so many of these places until in Oklahoma City, it was illegal to tattoo until 12 years ago. What the heck?
I mean, yeah, there's still other fun laws in the books.
Yeah, that's ridiculous that there were no tattoo artists allowed in Oklahoma City. Just kind of weird stuff like that I just never thought of. You know, if you'd have said 50 years, I'd have maybe said, well, that's stupid because it is such an ancient art. But okay, but because things were so much different 50 years ago. But
yeah,
12 years ago?
Yeah.
That's not even... But anyway... I think that's all we've been watching. And, of course, I'm on my fifth viewing of The Office.
I watched the first episode.
You got to watch, the first four.
So, we were going to watch the second one, and then children's were being children. So, we had to stop. We were midway through the second episode, and we just haven't picked it back up.
Yeah, the diversity hooked me. I thought that was just excellently written and crazy and had so many cringe moments
mm-hmm.
that... You're sucked in. Yeah, when they're wearing the things on their head.
I've not gotten there. I didn't get that far.
You haven't gotten there?
No, no, they are like in the room about to begin the proceedings.
So Michael hasn't done his Chris Rock yet.
No, he has not done it. We're about, I think I'm like, I was like right there where they're about.
Okay. Yeah. That's wow. Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. You'll definitely get it because we know that routine backwards and forward. So, but yeah, you gotta watch like a 4-episode block of that. And then you just are like, oh, I have got to keep seeing what these people are going to be doing. It's a love story. I love the love story too. I absolutely love the Pam and John love story.
I enjoyed it in the first episode.
And the crazy Dwight antics.
Yeah.
Jim and Dwight banging together heads.
Oh my.
And then the Michael Scott cringe moments. It's just, it's a formula that. I'm done with my office rant.
I think since our last recording, we have both watched Luca. That will probably multiple times.
I haven't watched it enough to talk about it.
Okay. I just want, it's there. There's a review on our YouTube channel if you want to see my thoughts on it. I won't go into more. Introduce the Daughter to Three Ninjas, one of the greatest films of all time. I genuinely love that movie.
I mean, it was good at the time and good for your age, and I enjoyed watching it with you. If I sit down and watch it now by myself, I'm not going to enjoy it. I wouldn't mind watching it with kids.
I Surf Ninjas is better. In my opinion, Surf Ninjas is.
I'll have to disagree with that one.
A lot of people would. I am in the minority. I will admit that. But it's just fascinating because I'm thinking about, when I was growing up, you know, it was Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, Three Ninjas, Surf Ninjas, all the, blow things up, fight people. that was all the shows. There was like a little image I shared the other day online, and it was like Street Sharks and SWAT Cats and Mouses from Mars. Biker Mice from Mars. I was like, wow, kids' television has changed dramatically. And, Pokemon and it's all that. And it's just, I don't know. I guess it's funny because I think about all the parents now. We're like, oh, that's too violent. And I'm like, well, turned out all right.
Yeah.
And my big thing was not television this week. I finished within probably a week and a half, 2 weeks span. I finished the first, I would say, batch of the Star Wars Minute podcast. I listened to all 122 episodes of basically the first movie. It's a really good show. They're like 15 minutes.
I thought about doing it, but I was thinking about the ones I have right now.
And I really enjoy them. And one of the guys on there is a purist. And I mean, the versions they are reviewing are the original, not even the special edition. Right. It is the original. This is what the movie looked like when it came out in theaters. And it's great because, you get to hear people talk about their memories with Star Wars and the toys and just kind of like putting you in the mindset of what it was like to see Star Wars for the first time as a kid in 1977, which I will obviously never understand. You closer than I, but I mean,
Who took me?
Who took you?
My Aunt Joan.
Okay. Yeah.
Aunt Joan took me. You know why?
Why?
Now, why she thought she was taking a kid, her nephew, who was, I was 8,
mm-hmm.
to see Star Wars, thinking that Star Wars was a movie about Hollywood and movie stars having problems with Star Wars.
Got it.
So I would love to, I wish there was a video of her watching that movie. I'm sure I was like mouth dropped and eye open and wow, and she was probably sitting there, what the hell?
Yeah, and some of the kids were talking about, or some of the guys, because they're the same age, they were like 5, 6, 8, 10, when they watched it. And, they said, I walked out and it was the greatest movie ever, and I looked at my mom, she said I thought that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And which is probably how most parents are now. But it was interesting to hear just that dynamic. And I guess I didn't you don't appreciate it now. They were just talking about the dearth of children's entertainment at that time and how there wasn't a lot of it, and what was there wasn't good. And so
I was lucky enough to have a mom that loved sci-fi, so she liked all of it. Now your grandpa, he could care less. He actually disliked sci-fi. So,
did you see it like multiple times?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I saw it 3 times in the theater, but I'm not positive about that.
Okay.
Pretty sure. But still was not the, at that time, not the most watched movie that I had done in theaters. The most watched was 5, and that was Grease.
Which is still one of your favorites, so yeah. And it's a great movie. So maybe you can enlighten me to this one little thing. The toy. I know there was the delay with the toys. I know we're going on a bit of a tangent here. We're going to get to the movies. What, like, did you have toys, the toys?
I had every action figure you could get. I waited in line for, and was taken to Toys R Us and all that to get the toys that were coming out that week. You knew kind of which ones were coming out on what card and what.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a saver. I did not save them in their things. I tore them open and played with them. I lost the swords. They had these little swords that were inside of the arm, and you pushed them up right here, and it came out here. They're lightsabers.
Yeah.
And those and the guns were lost very quickly.
I can imagine.
And I may or may not have opened up things in the store and replenished.
Okay. My first
cry.
Last bit of news. One guy said he saw it in England in like 78 or whatever, or whenever it was. I think he said he saw it later there. What was interesting about...
I was 10. I forgot that's what
it was. Well, he said what was interesting was he was over there. Or no, I think he was 15 though, but he was in England. He said what was interesting was in that time in England, you still had intermissions.
Oh.
And they did an intermission for the movie. And at the end of movies, they played God Save the Queen. At the end of the credits. And they asked, like, you know, did you have to stay? He's like, you didn't have to stay, but you got like dirty looks if you didn't stay all the way through the credits for the thing. So at least in the 70s, to the end of the 70s, they were still doing that, which I thought was interesting.
Now, did I give you my Star Wars figures?
Yes. Yes, I have a Greedo, a C-3PO. I might have 2 C-3POs. I think an Obi-Wan and maybe a Stormtrooper.
But somewhere upstairs then in boxes is Walrus Man and Hammerhead.
I remember seeing them.
I'm trying to think of their names. The little square bot that hops, the Jawas. I had them all. I have a full-size Millennium Falcon. Do you have that?
No, I do not. You might want to check on that because one of the stories I was listening to these guys on, they lived in New York, and one of their friends had the Millennium Falcon, and they were playing with it, and they dropped it, and it broke. But when it broke, it immediately became engulfed by cockroaches. Apparently, they had gotten inside somehow, and basically the whole inside of it was just filled. And when it broke, they just evaporated. They escaped their cave. I was like, ooh. So
I'm not finding that.
So just a heads up, that might be a thing for you, Millennium Falcon.
I had the X-Wing. I had a TIE Fighter.
Yeah. The Death Star?
I don't know if they had it. I don't know. I'm not sure what they had at that time. If they had a Death Star. I don't think I had a Death Star, though.
Okay.
I had a couple of TIE Fighters because I had a regular TIE Fighter that I had Vader's TIE Fighter.
Nice.
They made the little noises and the
all
the cool stuff. Now, none of them are probably intact. I had the Enterprise fold out bridge.
Nice.
Yep. So it happens to be an only child. You get
lots of things.
You get your stuff.
Oh man. Well, let's go ahead and talk about these movies.
The problem, though, with yes. my action figures, especially my bigger ones,
yeah,
they have red marks on them because for some reason I thought drawing blood on everything.
That's hilarious. There have been several guys on the show who did the same thing.
I had to have injuries, and it had to look like an injury. I wanted blood on it. So almost all of them have the blood trickle out of their mouth, probably a little cut on their forehead, and probably some kind of like wound on their.
Several of the guest hosts, because it's two guys and they have a rotating guest host. Several of the people on there have talked about doing the exact same thing.
I don't feel so psychotic. I had a big G.I. Joe, like a full size G.I. Joe Jeep, a really big, huge one. Mm-hmm. And that had horrible wrecks all the time. People bodies were mangled and laying all over. And yeah. Then when I found out you could pull off arms and maybe pop them back on, that was a whole nother thing. So,
did you pull off any legs?
Strangely enough, I don't think I did.
Okay. Let's go ahead and hop into these movies. We're going to start with Eat My Dust, which was your selection. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So Eat My Dust came out in 1976, 1 year before Star Wars. It, of course, stars one Ron Howard and Clint Howard as well. Some other notable people, which you can touch on if you'd like, but I'm just the Howards, written and directed by
their dad,
written and directed by Charles Griffith, which we'll get into. And of course, Ron Howard, I guess I don't want to say famously, but did this movie because he wanted to direct another movie for Roger Corman and the crew. And so this was his agreement to allow him to make Grand Theft Auto. And it's basically a car junkie kid wants to be a race car driver, steals race car driver car, and hilarity ensues as they drive around the county evading the sheriff's office. And his dad is the sheriff. I'll let you go first since this was your selection. Where do you want me to go?
Well, it was just you can go ahead.
And it was not great. I have discovered with Roger Corman films, they are better if they are of the horror and sci-fi variety. His day-to-day movies like Big Bad Mama or this are not great. And it's not directed by him, but still.
That it?
I mean, the chase scenes were okay, I guess. Some of the camera tricks they did to try and make it look like the car was going fast was really cheap. Was Grand Theft Auto worth... I've never seen Grand Theft
never
Auto.
Seen it.
Well, I was about to say, was it worth making this?
I've never been a car junkie, so I have no idea what that was about.
I know we crap on the 70s a lot. But let me be very clear. The worst thing about the 70s are the comedies.
Yeah.
There's towards the tail end you get some good horror movies. Obviously, you get some good sci-fi with Star Wars in 2001 and, you know, et cetera. I think comedy is where it really is at just the pits.
Yeah. Oh, this was a comedy?
It says action, comedy, romance.
No, this was nothing but a Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
I mean, it just played like the Dukes of Hazzard. Even the dialogue while they're driving, the little one-liners and the silly banter. This is obviously, it was so the Dukes of Hazzard. Even the car reminded me of it. It was bad. There was a couple maybe grins, but not enough to hold anything together.
I forgot to mention, it has a PG rating, 1 hour and 29 minutes, 5.4 on the IMDb rating. No tomato meter, but
that's awful high.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 35 from the audience score. It is... So, I think it gets into the issue with Charles Griffith as a whole. Because he's a good, like, general idea person. Like, the idea of, oh, the kid's going to steal the stuff and the sheriff's the dad. And then we're going to have to, the sheriffs are going to have to hire and work with other streetcar racer people, whatever, right, to find him. That's a generally a good idea. And could work. But if you look at some of the other things he's done, he's always on the cusp of a good idea, and it never quite gets there. And for example, some of the things he's known for: Death Race 2000.
Never saw.
He was uncredited, but kind of worked on Barbarella. He wrote the original Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh.
So, like, yeah, it's like, you're right there. You just, you need a Frank Oz. You need someone else to take what he has created,
right,
and soup it up. But he's right there. He's right there.
Where's Roger Corman? Where were all the naked women?
I was surprised about that. They did. Where was the...
Ron Howard might have said no to that.
Maybe. Well, what I just don't get is, generally with a Roger Corman film, even if I don't like it, I mean, you know, his appeal is I can make movies cheap enough to where you're going to make a profit, and right, quality enough to where, I don't see how this would have done that.
Is there any box office numbers for this?
I haven't seen any, but I could not imagine that this did much.
Yeah, I don't remember this. This is the same year as Grease, right?
Did Grease come out in 76?
76 or 77, wasn't it?
I'll look that up real quick. If it came out in 77, that's very impressive, because that would have been the same year as 78. Grease 78,
okay.
Yeah. But it just, like you said, the when did the Dukes of Hazzard come out?
The 80s.
Okay, so this is pre of it, technically.
Probably the late 80s, maybe?
Okay.
No, it was probably the mid-80s.
The only other notable, and which is probably accurate, Gene Siskel. That was one of the three films he picked to be the worst of 1976. I do not know what the other two are, but that is in the specific writing here. That it is.
So even anything then, redeeming?
I think that general idea of having the sheriff's team up with the race guys, I mean, that's fine. That's a serviceable idea that could have been done well. I didn't get Ron Howard's outfit.
Wanted just a plaid shirt and a...
Well, it was like race car, I guess, maybe, jacket and like toy Confederate or Union, I guess it was a Union hat. Toy Union. Was it a Confederate or a Union hat? I don't know. Toy Civil War hat.
And oh, yeah.
Didn't get why he was wearing a toy Civil War hat as a high school person. I didn't get the gimmick there.
I guess that was popular then.
Sure. And like him and his friends were like, their job was to restock bathroom toiletries. Like, I was like, why?
Yeah, I don't know.
And they, you know what? They also failed. They didn't do enough. They were again, on the cusp of an idea. Whenever someone was wronged by Ron Howard and his crew, they all kept going to the sheriff's office, and he kept saying, go to the waiting room, basically.
Right.
He kept putting him in the drunk cell. Yeah. They could have done a lot more with that, with, like, crazy things going on or filling it up more, but everyone just kept, like, going to the back room to play poker. And you didn't even see it.
Yeah.
It's again, there's just like, it's like, okay, I see what you're trying to do here.
I don't think Roger Corman visited the set enough.
Probably. He was probably making a bunch of movies.
Yeah, maybe something else was going on. Because it didn't have his little feel or spin to it.
Yeah, I guess that's what I would say. It did not feel like a Roger Corman film. Like, even with Big Bad Mama, which I don't like, it felt like a Roger Corman film.
Well, it had boobs in it.
That's like a checklist. If I'm watching a Tarantino movie, I need to see some feet. If I'm watching a Roger, just yeah, not great.
No, I give it a 2.
That's about right. That's about right.
That's on a 100 scale, by the way.
It's a 1 or 2. Is it better or worse? This isn't really comparable, but is it better than or worse than Slipstream? Because that's, I don't know why I kept thinking about Slipstream when we were watching this movie, but when I was watching it, I was like, because I just kept thinking, I was like, is this better or worse than Slipstream? Because Slipstream's like my highest one. It's like almost on the verge of a 2. So that's kind of like my barometer of if a movie's going to be a 1 or 2. Is it better than Slipstream?
I don't know. Those are hard to compare.
Very hard. Very hard.
Let's call them even.
Okay. Well, yeah, that is Eat My Dust.
Like, I only picked it because I saw Roger Corman.
That's fine.
And I was flipping through car movies. I saw Roger Corman. I thought, all right, this will have something here.
It is. That is an understandable reaction.
if I had watched it first, I would have changed.
Yeah. Let's go up to my film for the week. Which is Rubber. Came out in 2010. It is a comedy horror, 1 hour and 22 minute runtime, a 68% on the tomato meter, 46 from the audience score. It has a 5.8, just 0.4 higher than Eat My Dust. Written and directed by Quentin Dubinay. I guess that's how you pronounce that name. I will let you go first because I have thoughts, but basically it's about a sentient tire that goes on a killing spree, but there's a lot more to this film than that. Had you ever seen Rubber before this?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Brilliant.
It was great.
I loved it.
I loved it too.
Alex watched it with me.
And what did he think?
I snuck it in on him. He was playing. He was actually off of his PlayStation for a while, and he was over here playing his little DS or whatever, one of those handheld things. And I just kind of turned it on, and he slowly started watching. He was like, he kept giving these weird looks, but he was laughing. He was laughing, and he actually did not leave the room. So... But I thought it was great, right? Even blowing up the animals, which I'm usually not for at all. Not really into seeing animals tortured, but it was fun. It was a funny movie. It was well done. It had some moments that were just. I loved the effects. I thought the effects were good.
Yeah,
it rolled the tire rolling, and I liked it. It didn't take itself seriously. It knew exactly what it was. It tells you in the beginning. It lets you know in the beginning it's a because movie. Why? Because we're going to make a movie. Done. Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I absolutely love this film. This rises to, as far as like hidden gems, this to me rises to a level of a director's cut.
This is just a new cult.
Yeah, this is... I would 1,000% watch it again. I will evangelize for this movie. That opening speech was great. You know, we watched last week, the Screaming Skull, or last couple weeks, we watched Screaming Skull, which had that great opening to tell you what you were in for. This movie told you what you were in for, but then also properly delivered. That speech was good. It made sense. It's just like, here's how movies are, because things need to happen. I love the look of it. I thought the tire, the way they shot the tire, the way they did the effects of it with kind of selling it like a real horror movie at some parts was great. But I also liked this weird backdrop of there's some weird cult thing going on where you're watching people watch a movie about the tire. Like that whole meta dynamic, which is hard to pull off.
Right.
Very hard to pull off. Actually worked in this movie. I don't know if I could explain why.
They handed you a million things
Yeah.
To dislike and to pick apart.
Yeah.
For some reason, they knew how to execute it to where you just went, hey, it doesn't matter. It's good. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'll just brush it off.
I think one of the parts I really enjoyed about this movie was when the main cop guy says he thinks that everyone has been killed that is watching this movie and that they can stop pretending. And right. he's like, all right, guys, pack it up. And everyone else in the universe still thinks they're in the movie.
Right.
And he thinks that they're not in the movie anymore. And them trying to explain that this is just all an act, like, that was fantastic. It
could have been completely annoying, but
yeah.
For some reason, I don't know how they did it.
I also just think it was actually excellently shot.
Yeah.
Like, the actual physical, cinematography of the movie was good.
The tire had more screen presence and personality than Vince Vaughn.
I
came up with Vince Vaughn. There's probably a million other ones I could come up with.
But. There's probably a lot. Hayden Christensen.
the tire had personality.
Yeah.
However they shot it, the moves that they gave it, you knew exactly. The personification of it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was when they were doing the level creep of the tires, tire, like, slowly figuring out what it could do.
Right.
And how to do it was just brilliantly done. I mean, and the end of the movie, where it ended on the proper cheesy sequel bait
right.
ending, was done well. This is a masterpiece. That
I'm also gonna go to a masterpiece, but it's damn good.
Oh, this
I will most definitely watch it again.
Yeah, this falls into there's been some movies we've talked about, and I don't know if it quite raises to that level, where, like, Lighthouse, which I think I liked more than you did. Lighthouse, director.
I've liked it more as I've thought about it, but.
Yeah. Director's cut, and I know we absolutely disagree on this one. Eraserhead, where there's just these movies that are weird, and they're just made well and work because of that. Like, there's, like, this weird, like, pantheon of films.
I tried to pick it apart. I tried with Alex, we were, I was like, but you're laughing. You're laughing at the moment. So, because I know. I said, it doesn't make sense in some parts. I don't care. This is silly, but it's good. And this is, I don't know, I tried my best to not necessarily not like it, but to be like, oh, Lord, what in the world is this? But it sucked me in immediately, and I had to keep going and see what the heck this thing was going to do next. And
I have one minor gripe.
Okay.
I did not care for most of the music in the film. The music cheapened.
Boom. It was weird. It didn't match.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. I did say that.
It felt cheap and student film with the music.
Yeah.
Which is an independent band. It is basically that, but everything else was done so well.
Right.
I wish the music would have felt more like the genre that they were trying to do.
I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. I remember thinking at the time that it sounded kind of cheap, circusy, calliope at times, and other times but I don't remember what it was.
There's one part where the music worked, and that was after the tire explodes the rabbit, and then it starts doing its little dance where it's like its happy dance, and the music has that kind of happy
thing. Right.
That moment worked, and I burst out laughing. That was excellent. I think you will know at that moment. I don't know. That's where I'm hard. It's hard for me to. I would recommend this to most people, because I think anyone would like it. Because I watched it with the wife, and I think she enjoyed it as well. But it's hard for me to say where that moment is where you know, if you don't get it by this point, just...
Right. Yeah, I mean, I busted out laughing when it started blowing stuff up. The rabbit, it was just hilarious. Alex is sitting there going, no, oh, wow. And then he started laughing.
I don't know.
Do this.
It's brilliant.
Do this. Other side. There you go.
Want to have some water in my beer or something?
I have no idea what it was.
I think it's water.
I'm not going to ask.
Water. And it looks like this was made, it says country, I think this is a French film.
Really?
It says country French, and it says the distribution company was done in UFO distribution from France and Magnet releasing in U.S. And it was a Cannes released in Cannes and also in France. So I think this is a French film, technically, although it's all in English.
Well, that's...
I did not know that. Until I just looked up real quick, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't do a huge dive into it, because I figured I'd watch it again, and then I would. I'd like to read more about it. I'd like to know what else these people have done.
Yeah, I'd love to watch some more stuff from him. I went and looked, and I don't think he has done a lot more. He's done a few other things, but nothing that we would have ever heard of.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, excellent film.
Yeah, good. I had fun watching it.
Which really annoyed me, because I saw that it has a 5.8 on IMDb. And I'm like, there's got to be more people that get this movie than that.
Now, this is a movie that about 2 or 3 years ago, your brother Devin asked me if I'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I've seen the picture of it. And he said, you should watch that. I'd like to know your opinion of that. So I'm going to hear... eventually call him and see what his thoughts were. I didn't get a chance to this week, but
yeah, I think I mentioned last time, my buddy John Harrell, I think, mentioned this to me. Someone recommended this movie to me years ago.
Yeah.
And like you said, I had seen the movie poster a million times. I think it was on Netflix and, you know, Amazon. It was on a bunch of the places for free, and I kept just seeing it and not hitting the button. Yeah. But it also wasn't what I expected it to be. I was expecting just the, you know, evil pinata kind of just nonsense.
Right. Yeah, me too.
And it was so much more than that.
It was.
It was.
Two
it was.
Thumbs up.
Yes.
It's so, a very strong 8.
It's a 9 for me.
Okay. I'll go to a strong 8, right on that 9. I'm not sure what we're pushing over, but. And it may be 9 on my second view.
Yeah.
So I will definitely be doing.
Yes. Yes. Well, those are our movies for the week. Next week, I did forget, before I get into next week, I did forget to mention some other things I watched.
Me too. I was just thinking that.
I just finished watching Fireball XL5, which I am now working. Fireball XL5? It is a Gary Anderson production
joint,
huh? You know what I'm talking about.
Sounds familiar.
Gary Anderson, Thunderbirds guy.
Oh yeah.
It's a black and white, kind of like a 50s sci-fi. It's kind of like a it kind of bridges the gap between 50s sci-fi and Star Trek.
Okay.
But it's, you know, his same shtick. And I just finished watching that because I'm going to be doing a That One Show review of it for our YouTube channel. And I started to do some of my editing last night, but I'm looking for the next show to do. And I'm deciding between Ronin Warriors, which was an anime back in the day that I watched. And I had some toys for. It was one of the big Toonami shows, or one of the shows on Toonami. And I'm also deciding between that and a show called Samurai Pizza Cats, which I'd never heard of.
I've seen something about that.
It's,
where have I seen that?
I don't know. It's in that, you know, everyone's trying to cash in and kind of do things about Ninja Turtles time period. But I watched the first episode, and the writing in it is actually very smart. It's actually very funny writing. Like, it kind of gets into that kind of Animaniacs kind of smart level of writing, where there's, like, political humor about, like, Greenpeace and Pinko commies. Stuff. It's kind of weird because it's, like, this weird parody of Ninja Turtles. But then they threw in, like, these weird, like, adult jokes and stuff. So, I don't know. I'm thinking about watching that, but I have not decided yet which one. I've been sampling both of those. But what about you? What else did you watch?
Well, I watched two documentaries. Mm-hmm. I watched Murder on Middle Beach, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. That was extraordinary. That was guy's mother got killed, and he did a documentary for years trying to figure out who the heck killed her. And I'm pretty sure it was his dad, but I can't. I mean, they've never found out who.
Right.
There was so many layers to it that they kept adding. I mean, you know, she went from being just a normal housewife to being part of a huge Ponzi scheme that I'd never heard of, apparently up in that, up in the rich area of Connecticut and New Hampshire and all. They did a thing called a surprise table, I think it was called. A gift table. And it was, I mean, it sounds completely innocent at first. You invite a bunch of people over and people give money to give to someone that needs it. But then you get more people in to give money, and then it kind of starts building to where the more people you get in, the money goes up, and you get some of it. And then, so it's, I mean, it's a complete pyramid. I mean, it's, so then there was some thoughts that maybe somebody did that. She had a sister that completely said she wanted to kill her, and she had a daughter that they weren't so sure about because she was a little psychotic. And oh man, it was crazy. But his dad never would really talk about it.
You know, I'd prefer to not have, like, multiple people. If I would ever be murdered, I would like to think that there wouldn't be, like, you know, it could be one of these 10 people.
I hope I just pissed off one person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. I mean, and the poor kid was completely spent so much time on it that I really felt sorry for him. And the other one, I'm trying to remember what the heck it was called. It was about another kid, a kid that had gotten arrested for murder and sentenced to like 40 years. Mm-hmm. And his dad just didn't believe he did it. And it's about his dad going through and just doing what the lawyers and the cops should have done. He just totally broke down. You know, he walked the crime scene almost every day. He just slowly pieced little things together. Ended up getting a an advocate that's all she does is go and try to overturn convictions because of things. But the ridiculous part of this was both the witnesses that ID'd him in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. Both came forward saying it wasn't him. They were coerced into saying it. They were threatened into saying it. They didn't. And all this evidence had been tampered with, and they ended up saying that all that had been tampered with. They knocked out all four pieces of the major case, and that judge would not overturn and give him another trial because the prosecutor that did it was now a judge. You know, that's a good old boy thing. So they ended up having to take it up farther, and they ended up getting him released finally. And they finally saw a panel of three judges who, I mean, this is unheard of. They released him that day. They were like, there is no way. And there was so much evidence against it. Even the friend admitted he did it. He said his friend wasn't with him. He's one of them. It was ridiculous that kid spent 9.5 years in prison. But yeah, but it was really good. His father, wow, was talking about just putting your whole life on hold and just going for it. But he spent every waking moment trying to prove his son was was not the one that did this. So it was good. It's free / something, I think it is. But anyway, both of those were good documentaries.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I watched.
Well, that's a lot.
It was a lot.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about next week. I've decided, or we decided, I guess, kind of collectively.
Yeah, you decide.
Okay, I decided. I had been struggling for a gimmick. I think I pitched you on some other gimmicks.
Yeah, one was really lame.
I forgot what it was.
Drew Barrymore week.
Well, that's a good idea. We could do ET.
Not that I don't like Drew Barrymore, but I don't want to.
There's a big catalog.
Yeah, but there's a big catalog on. I'm trying to think of somebody horrible, but I don't. That'd make them good.
There's good movies there.
One good movie, Poison Ivy.
Riding with Boys in Cars, Fever Pitch is good. Charlie's great. Angels is all right. ET.
Anyway, I'm not doing Drew Barrymore week.
Anyway, so I pitched some ideas for you. And finally, I always when I'm struggling for ideas, I go look up months that we're going to, or I try and find like celebrations. It's whatever month, and then I, pick up stuff from that. And it turns out, and I should know this because I've watched a podcast about this or listened to a podcast. That July is, of course, named after dictator for life, Julius Caesar. And so we're going to do Roman movies about movies about the great Roman Empire or Republic or whatever you want to do. What are you picking for this?
Now you're going first. I don't know.
Okay. I was struggling to pick it because obviously the most obvious movies are, Gladiator and Julius Caesar and Spartacus and et cetera. But I didn't want to do something obvious. Not that I'm opposed to that. I wanted to pick another movie, but then I saw it was 4 hours long and decided not
to. Cleopatra?
No, I was going to pick The Fall of the Roman Empire with Alec Guinness. Oh,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, hey, we're not doing another one of those right now. So I found on Tubi, for free, The Arena.
The Arena, all right.
Starring Pam Grier.
All right. Well, then I am going to go the opposite. Going to do A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, okay.
Yep. You ever heard of it?
No, I've never heard of that.
Same guy that did The Producers. It's that kind of.
Okay. And where can I watch A Funny Thing Happen?
I got no clue.
Okay, I'll find. I will find.
I guess I should have checked that.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe you can't watch it for free for now. Let me see. See if you can watch it for free. If not, I have a backup.
Okay, what's the backup just in case?
Life of Brian.
This movie is not available free anywhere currently. That'd be challenging at the moment.
Brian available?
I own it.
Jeez, I was looking for, there was another one that I thought about. You could do the Lizzie McGuire movie.
I thought about picking like a weird thing that just happens in in Rome.
Well, the other one I was thinking of, okay, wait a minute.
Oh,
I found another one.
Okay.
It's on Tubi as well.
Okay.
Let's watch The Belly of an Architect.
Belly of an Architect.
Yes. Brian Dennehy.
Okay.
I have no idea what it's about. I like the title.
That's a great name.
Okay. So we'll be highlighting Tubi this week. Which has a lot of commercials. That's my only problem. But
I think they have the appropriate amount of commercials.
They need an opt out. I'd pay them $1 a month if I could opt out of the bad commercials.
Yeah?
Yeah. Maybe even $2.99. I've got everything else. Peacock, Hulu, all those I have ad-free.
I'm sure there are options for this, and I don't know. I would pay Spotify money if when I type in the name of the specific song I want to stream, you play that song.
Yeah, I don't want songs like it.
Yeah, I want that song. Not like, here's a playlist about songs, and eventually you might hear the song you actually want to hear. So, okay.
The Belly of an Architect.
I'm reading the synopsis, and I am fascinated, and I cannot wait.
I haven't read the synopsis yet, so
it's gonna be great. I mean, it's Brian Dennehy. All right. Well, we will see you all next time on a podcast named Tim. Goodbye.